shots went nowhere. The night before, Chirito had cut through the ceiling of the bank's underground garage to access the alarm system's CPU on the floor above and changed out three of its circuit boards. 20 minutes before the robbery, the alarm system turned itself and its video recorders off. At 11:50 a.m., McCauley, Chirito, and Chehurlis were walking out, one at a time, carrying duffel bags containing $12.8 million in cash. 5 minutes earlier, at 11:45 a.m., Vincent Hanna of LAPD's Robbery Homicide Division had received a tip about the armed robbery in progress. Hanna, his detectives, and units of uniformed police raced to the bank as McCauley, Chirito, and Chehurlis were crossing the sidewalk on their way out. In the next moments, downtown L.A. erupted into urban warfare. Hanna had been pursuing this crew since he arrived at the scene of a violent armored van robbery. Pulling in, he found the typical crime scene paradigm, the ordered regularity of street furniture, curbs, lampposts, utility boxes. And then the anomalies appeared. Brains, bone shards, irregular pools of blood, the underside of an armored van on its side, like a petrified mammoth. The armed robbers' identities were a mystery, but what Hanna knew at first glance was they were a heavy-duty crew of Highline pros. There were signs, like discarded shards, leavings, that contained messages about what happened. Reversing how they got there told Hanna the sequence of events and about this crew's methods. The spot they picked had good escape routes, on-ramps to two freeways. They ignored loose cash, and the 2 minute elapsed time of the robbery meant they knew how long it took LAPD to respond to a 211, the skillful use of shaped charges to cut the precise rectangular opening in the armor plate, told Hanna this crew could go in on the prowl. They could do sophisticated Highline burglaries as well. That meant they were capable of taking down a variety of scores, any way those scores needed to be taken down. And if they went in strong, they'd rock and roll at the drop of a hat. They killed two armored guards when one reached for an ankle-holstered handgun. They executed the third off a cold calculation. Since it had become a murder one beef anyway, why leave a living witness? If you happened into this crew's way, that was going to be your problem. Hanna finished taking it all in before speaking to the detectives, technicians, and uniformed officers from other divisions. Robbery Homicide Division was LAPD's elite major crime unit. Its purview was citywide. Hanna had the authority to appropriate any case in any division. He wanted this one. RHD took over. Working his network of informants, Hanna identified one crew member, Michael Chirito. Surveillance on him led Hanna to the others, except the elusive McCauley. Hanna knew, as a foregone conclusion, given this crew's proficiency, they were unlikely to leave behind enough physical evidence at a crime scene to tie them to it. So Hanna's strategy became to surveil them, discover what they were taking next, and be there when they walked in the door. Neil McCauley became aware that somebody was on him. When it happened, his reaction was calm and smooth, because smooth was fast. Fast wasn't fast. Chehurlis was inside a precious metal depository, cutting a hole in a metal vault door with a hollow core drill at 3 a.m. Chirito was up a telephone pole, monitoring his alarm system bypasses. Trejo, on lookout, was circling the block. Outside on the sidewalk, the night air was cool on Neil's face as he watched the dark, vacant streets. He heard a sound. It was sheet metal hit by a solid object. It was a sound that should not be there. It came from a row of delivery vans parked across the street in a lot for an industrial bakery. The sound was out of place. They were supposed to be empty. They weren't. Coolly, Neil re-